In Memoriam of Majel Barrett Roddenberry, 1932-2008. You appeared a voiceover in all Star Trek TV movie franchise offerings. You married Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry and carried on his legacy as an actor-producer. Untimely sacked from First Officer, the Enterprise, and the original pilot, The Cage, you endured to become the unquestioned empress of the Star Trek universe, where even yet you reign in our hearts. The more we learn of our universe, the more wonderful and overwhelmingly vast it seems. Our telescopes regale us with images of glittering galaxies, wild, wistful, wavering nebulae, and dark velvet gem trays of uncountable galaxies and stars. Like babies in a crib, playing with glowing objects dangling above us on a mobile, we strain to reach out to such brilliant entities. But we must realize that these lonely isles of light float upon an infinite ocean of wondrous mystery surrounded by impenetrable darkness. Our story begins sadly tonight as planet Sestula, home to the space dragon crew of Mage, Clutch, and their android companion Andy, just self-annihilated in a flaming and horrible nuclear holocaust. Even so, the crew anticipates another untimely disaster, the destruction of the Veil, an ethereal community of proto-beings, when the damaged space dragon asteroid habitat explorer hurtles through it like a cannon shell. Will blind but savvy Commander Mage, aided by her companions and her mother's unexpected visitation from the Veil, find some timely, if desperate, way to avoid two decimating catastrophes on the same day? Join us now, if you dare, as we venture once more out into dark spaces.
Commander, you must leave here right now.
Not yet. You must concentrate and answer me this. When Space Dragon knifes through the Veil, with the magnetos at maximum, what happens?
It will tear the Veil filament apart, completely separating it, like cutting it with a sharp, spinning drill. Many souls from our plane of existence, if not all of them, will be lost to the dark spaces.
You say the filament is alive. Will the two severed segments ever find each other and rejoin back into one segment system?
I don't know. But not until at least the time to form a new planetary system passes. In our collective memory, the Veil has never been so severely damaged.
I see. Focus again. Only answer my question. Can Space Dragon veer safely away from the Veil onto a new course?
The passive asteroid vessel doesn't have sufficient thrust or fuel to—
Swallow your tongue! Can we still move to miss the Veil? Answer me!
Yes!
Commander Mage to team. Urgent. Where are you?
Proceeding forward on the mini-rail to the primary control center. What's up, Commander?
Clutch, Andy, I need both of you to do exactly as instructed until further notice. Absolutely no delays or pushback. Got it?
What do we do?
Return all possible speed to the auxiliary control center.
Like our tails are ablaze?
Try faster, and I'm sending you some help. Expect anything. But it will be okay. It will be my words to you.
Must be Veil evil ready, Clutch. Commander Mage is getting spooky.
You better know it, Bot. When you get to the control center, immediately electromagnetically shield it. Seal and lock the hatches, and don't open any of them until I silently signal you on the command console. Understood?
Perfectly, Commander. Will you be—
You're delaying. Move, team. Mage out.
You won't make me go. I swear you won't.
It's too risky for me to broadcast my full plan to my team. You have to tell them in their presence. Then you must make sure they don't get jumpy and heroic and decide to go questing for me.
Think of another way. I told you I won't go.
I just turned on a high-resolution telescope monitoring screen. Pointed at Sestula. What do you see?
Oh. Fiery ball, like the traditional wood fireballs. We pile in outdoor pits. Then we burn them. With friends and family. Close. We warm away the winter in our hearts.
And our souls. But now our whole world flames away like those fireballs. Yet I swore upon my love and thankfulness for those who bore in their flesh all the me's and raised them across eons of time. The veil will be spared, somehow. You must leave.
No, soon you'll need me here, standing with you.
Will you listen to me? Please, go. Lagani, Zerperitil, Mother.
Zatina, finally you believe me!
You tried to hug me, didn't you, Mother?
Yes. Didn't work too well. Zatina, please. Let me try that again. Hold very still, if possible. Calm your mind. Whenever you sense me this near to you, my child, know for certain I am.
I will. I will. I know you thought me cruel, Mother, but all your familiar aspects, gestures, words, tall tales from memory, they might have been trickery used by whatever demons dwell out here in the dark spaces.
Dear Zatina, what changed your mind?
A true mother's devotion.
No, it cannot. And this mother loves you through the veil and across all eternity. Find me when you bridge the veil. But not today. Please, beloved, not today.
Let's recall who must still make her own life-changing choices, Mother. If it helps, know that I arm myself every day with your wisdom and your memory. I am ready for whatever comes to me soon.
Sense that glow of readiness all around you, child. Still, it's vexing to be with you and remain aware of the gulf that intervenes. Very well. Before I change my mind, quickly, daughter, tell me what I must know, what I must do, and I promise, no delay or pushback.
Gaqui, Poe. No shields. Stop.
Gaqui, call. Poe.
No shields. Yes. Stop.
Ka, Poe. Yes. Stop. Katrit itplit tadu. Poe. 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 Yes. Launch new program. I talk. Countdown 20. Stop. Now wait. Stop. Imp, play some pleasant, calming music loops. Makeshift wet bar stocked and ready. Still something missing. Oh, yes. Imp, reduce the lighting to normal rest mode. Please? Thanks. I can't see, but I'm sure it's just right. I think I'll recline over here and relax.
Celebrating our death's traitor?
Prime Minister Gimmon, greetings. Ka Kui, Po. Yes, shields, stop.
And what nonsense is that?
An ancient epithet in a lost language. It means greetings, please your host to stay, or something like that. Traitor? You've all had an appallingly bad scalp day. Can I fix anyone a drink?
That blinking console light. Sati, Commander, Mage is signaling us.
Yes, she apparently has all the intruders now shielded in the primary control center. They cannot leave, and they cannot detect either us or our movements.
Lagani, is it? Andy and I have agreed. It's just not wise to leave the commander with my mother. We don't know you that well, So we wanted to explain that...
The commander cautioned me that you two would fall over each other to ride off on the mini rail and be first to rescue her.
As a matter of fact, how do we know for certain we should not do that? Commander Mage must have told you all that happened here since this morning.
Oh, Andy, I have a fair idea what you've both been through. Setting that aside, let me attempt to sum up her instructions. Tell those two well-meaning numbbrains that they can argue it out. Who knows what's best for me every moment of every day, after the Vale is safe, and the former Prime Minister gets her rage on. Yes, I think that's fairly close.
That is Commander Mage, Clutch.
Yep, no doubt. To the hangar. Forward.
Ho!
Did I miss something here? A ho is what exactly?
I take it that's a no on the drinks? I'll have one.
Don't mock me, Lagani Spawn. I took on what your weak mother could not. Nonetheless, I allowed you to sculpt Space Dragon from asteroid rubble as you asked of me. Yet once done, you wanted it. When I sorely needed my dragon to protect me, you claimed it was unfinished. Then you sabotaged it, or pretended to.
Well, I am relieved to learn that you didn't assign me such lengthy, genuinely exhausting projects just to keep me constantly out of public focus. I almost suspected rumors about you and my mother, the former Prime Minister, were true.
Swallow your tongue, Snakelet! This asteroid is still mine! Now turn it back on Cestula. It will fall from the sky like blazing judgment. It will annihilate the Dominion's impenetrable mountain fortress of the Second Creation. I swear those devils will incinerate in the same agonizing, helpless disgrace as we.
Not before we settle something, Gimmon. Regardless of my personal feelings toward any of you, this project was absolutely on track until today. I never, ever intentionally misled any of you.
You lie still.
No, none of you get it. Earlier, I tried to explain, but you populist party poopers got your posterior so pickled in politics that you pulverized our planet into powder and potash, prior to and preventing my pitching my palliative presentation.
Maybe we should let her explain, Prime Minister.
Excuse me. That's former Prime Minister Gimmon. Former Prime Director Chersey.
Okay, Andy. Keep the cargo cruiser steady here, just off Space Dragon's starboard side.
Aye, aye, Flight Commander Clutch.
Lagani, are we looking out the viewport for some identifiable star or constellation? Or just trying to pick a direction by intuition?
A bit of both, I suppose. The Vale is draped across our planetary system, equatorial plane, like a long, zigzagging cord across a table. Space Dragon must leave for the dark spaces in a direction which avoids possibly crossing the cord again. Let me think.
I hope we regain contact with Commander Mage soon. I do consider it unwise not to know what is happening with her.
We're almost done, Andy. Hang in there. And I promised you the grandest mess of steaming mystery meat nuggets you ever laid optical scanners on.
Are there any motion sickness catchers left in the healthcare kit?
Oh, my. Of course. So simple. Andy, I will give you some maneuvering instructions. It may seem strange, but please follow as well as you can. To start, can you, I think the term is, stand off a bit more from Space Dragon, so we have a clearer view of the entire starfield.
A few thrusters. And... far enough away now?
Perfect.
I should go take a nap, you hot dog.
Don't you dare. As soon as you do, she will require a double barrel roll from me. I sense it. Besides, I know you really just crave a snack, Flight Commander.
Well, I must require a double barrel roll when we finish our big chore. Next, Andy, parallel us to Space Dragon on its current forward flight path.
Just right, buddy.
Finally, please level us as best you can with our planetary system's equatorial plane, the tabletop with the cord laid across it. Remember? play aces.
I don't think I'm programmed to handle anything like this. How does one take a compliment?
There, that way, away from our star and down from the equatorial plane. As Space Dragon heads out into the star, she will avoid both the big gravity bully planets in her outer system while shying away from the zigzagging veil.
Would you look at that, folks?
What do you see on the star formations monitor?
We're sending the habitat towards the constellation of... Drumroll, Andy. The Southern Sea Serpent.
If there are prophetic signs, we surely just witnessed one. Space Dragon must be fated to go there. I've done my part. Now how do we actually send Dragon on her way?
Ahem. We are not done.
We aren't?
No. Stand by for a quick triple barrel roll. Huzzah!
Before I could get a repair detail together, guess what? I had to fend off the forceful advances of a young, moon-eyed, horny flight commander.
My son, Clutch?
Oh, yeah. He was a gentleman, at first. Briefly, sort of. But after we arrived here, ooh-yee, Clutch has a serious problem with boredom and laziness.
Why are you deliberately ridiculing my son? What has it got to do with...
Your space dragon? Lots. You see, with all the sensor instruments and sensor strips and sensor logging, all the control interlinks and communications and conduits and optical cables...
Get to the point!
Only 3 active inspection team members were deemed necessary for e-commissioning. 3! To open doors by the dozens, check clearance cracks by the hundreds, listen or watch for leaks, we got lucky there, and so forth. 3 inspectors for all of that. And one of them... was Kellick Zergimen, our Clutch Inspector. When we fell 5 cycles behind schedule, I began taking on the undone inspection work in addition to my command duties, but we still couldn't keep up. Until... I assigned Clutch to Andy's oversight. Androserv 00014, that is.
What did Clutch inspect?
Let me think. Mostly
what?
Yes, restrooms. No way out of that one. And his favorites, kitchens. Seems the more he nuked nuggets along with salt and oil saturated tuber fingers, the more he needed to reinspect the restroom. Anyway, about 10 cycles ago, amazingly, we stumbled back on schedule. It stayed that way until...
Until... what now?
Throat's dry just a sec. Where was I?
10 cycles ago.
Right. Until Googly Eyes, that's another of Clutch's professional titles around here, began silently hanging out 5 spans or so from my command console and staring at me constantly, so intently I could literally feel it. Each time, Androserp would eventually show up to shake Moonboy's attention out of the weeds and back on duty, always only briefly. Then whenever Androserp would wander out of sight, Clutch was back in the control center, googly-eyeing me again. And getting back to today...
Who assigned only 3 active commissioning inspectors?
The former Space Research and Colonization Prime Director.
And who made Clutch one of them?
The former Prime Minister.
I certainly did not. I mean, he was assigned to be Mission Flight Commander.
Oh, yes, you did make him an inspector, former PM. See? It has to do with how many of us total the government bean counter sent. Some of us, like Goggle Eyes, had their duty doubled. Former Prydarid Shursi, it was your new math got us now predicamented. You explain it. I need new glass. This one clearly got a too big hole in the
there, I used the remote thrusters to position Space Dragon perpendicular to us and turn sideways straight on towards the Southern Sea Serpent. Take her in for the final maneuver. Make me proud, Bot.
You deserve to do this, Flight Commander Clutch. I thank you, and I concede the pilot's chair.
Why, much appreciated, Bot.
Now, make me proud, Bio.
Is that large round cone on the middle of Space Dragon's side what you both mentioned?
Yes. We gently glide the nose of the cargo cruiser into the cone like this.
Docking complete.
Normally, we're now sealed to the habitat at a large docking bay. We could unload cargo through the cruiser's forward hatch. But cone attachments serve another critical purpose. So long as we don't make sudden side moves with the cruiser, we can slowly accelerate and push Space Dragon, either into a different orbit or directly towards the Southern Sea Serpent.
A simple, sensible, and elegant way to maneuver.
You betcha. We gradually increase cruiser power until we reach a safe, continuing maximum thrust. Then we just keep on shoving.
For how long?
Until we consume half the reactor fuel. Then we release from the habitat, allowing it to coast off to the stars on its own inertial momentum. The remaining fuel we must use to find a new home somewhere nearby. Unfortunately, not back on Sestula.
Sestula had a terrible day today. There were sore. And that, sadly, by the choosing and the doing of our own kind. But the three of you on your team have given everything so the Veil of Souls can survive. No amount of gratitude expressed by all those souls you've preserved ever in my eyes seem enough.
It happened so fast. I wish we could have helped Sestula too.
So do I, Flight Commander. I have no idea at present how it will happen, but the Veil must now renew and sustain its vitality, should it be needed in the future by Sestula's remnant. For now, I'm just very overwhelmed. The Veil is safe.
Ligani, this happened by your daughter's hands and her cunning. She has obviously kept those, who would have stopped what we did, stifled and stalled. But we're about to make Commander Major's life more difficult.
How?
Those Sestulan dirty sheets in the primary control center may sense the starting acceleration we're about to give Space Dragon. Even if Major's plan kept them bamboozled until now, the jig is almost up.
Then the Lonely Lives Nightline calls should begin flooding in here. As ranking officer aboard this cargo cruiser, Flight Commander Clutch, you get to field them.
I so can't wait.
We're moving.
But in what direction? It feels like the force moving us is coming from everywhere.
We're in the habitat inner core, rotating to provide artificial gravity. The direction of the steady force that's moving us feels like it's changing direction inside a circle.
Got no new mouth for that, eh? Brydire?
Tracy, you're our closest match to a technical expert. Figure out what's happening and do something.
How? If we ever renew a soul's how to interact with the physical world, I have no clue how to use these advanced controls which may be designed. None of us do.
That's my cue. Cargo Cruiser 54, where are you? Come back now, good buddy.
Commander Mage, are you okay?
Oh yeah, Goggle Guy. My welcoming rage, forgiven, et al. Is raging. Oh wow, that was a good one.
Understood, I think.
These peeps had bad day. Your dragon just now spooked. We good out yonder?
We good, Commander. And the dragon is responding as hoped. So, Commander, what's going down with my mother?
You rude boy, Kallax Zerk. Given, tuck her yourself. No sass now. Come here, Given. We all know friends here.
Thank you, Mage. I'm fine. My son and I will visit later.
Oh, don't feel bad. It's your lucky day. Really? My imp and me ready to blow all your snaky tails off. And back to you. We have Novar Light. B-E-E.
That's E-E-B, Commander.
Adorable bot. You okay? Hey, mom of me. You good?
Yes, dearest one. Keep going. You're doing fine.
Where was I? Oh, yeah, the Vale place.
The Vale is safe, Commander.
So good news, adorable. Let's see. One more thing must do. Mom of mine, the Valers, they take very sad souls, lost ones, back too, right?
Yes, Tina. They do.
There it is, then. I like that phrase from you, Pride Dyer. We will share it. Where's the Mom of Clutch?
Here, Satina. Listening.
Good. At Vale, big welcome party first for you. Then give you alone time. Think over your everything. Maybe find new ways to see things. Make new choices.
I understand. It sounds wonderful. And needed.
We start your welcome rage early. Leave the rest to you. Leave to you. Yep.
You could do no more, Satina Zerligani. It's enough for now. I love my welcome rage.
And welcome rage for your friends, too! Friends could be better friends. Huh, guys? Gals? Right? Right? Imp! This is so weak! Arm Nova's lights and B-E-E stings!
No!
Stand by to let him break!
No, no,
Ted!
No,
don't
Snap! Do it.
There. You're lucky you can sit up after that vodka goddess solo act.
My mother always advised me to reflect on the past, not relive it. Now I know how she figured that out. Okay. How long?
2 3/5 cycles.
That's not so bad. Why the long face still?
How many extinctions? If they're gone, maybe it's for the better. But I'm not laughing about it, Bot. You never laughed at anything before. Clutch, this isn't funny for me. Stop it.
We're so sorry, Commander.
You don't remember?
Much of anything, no.
You activated him to flood the command center with a Nova light flare and an extreme electromagnetic burst. Then started the countdown.
Shrek! I did it! Trick!
Not exactly. You reached 2.
And suddenly ordered Imp to hold.
Stop messing with me, you two! What happened?
You looked down into your glass.
And saw it was empty.
You paused the countdown to destroy the Primes and their henchmen.
To freshen your drink.
An empty tumbler saved everyone? And then?
You passed out, taking your first step toward the wet bar.
Then you landed here, in the shuttle crew quarters.
Yuck it up, team. I promise righteous revenge to you practical jokesters. Oh my god. When there are only 2 of you again. And where is our cast of 1,000 spirits? That is, if I flip out again and want to organize another rage group lockdown.
All within the Vale, beginning to piece together some very broken souls. I thought kissing and making up with Andy here would be like plating combat.
For the record, no kissing occurred.
Imagine our moms talking right now.
Clutch, your mom?
Mom and I talked briefly, cleared many things up. It was good. Given how the Vale goes about refreshing souls, I probably won't be visiting with her ever again.
I do hope to see Ligani, but I suppose that depends on how the Veil chastens a few hundred souls for behaving like juveniles. Also, upon how far out in our planetary system our team ends up.
Speaking of, Ligani recommended visiting the largest moon around the nearest of the three ice giants. It has a minimally breathable atmosphere and mild weather patterns. On a satellite surface map, she showed me where an especially stable area of land exists, surrounded by tempered hot springs. We would have soil, air, water, and space enough to do some rat and rabbit ranching.
That I want to see soon. How's Space Dragon?
Gone, Satina. We had to release her a short while ago to maintain our fuel reserves, but I was sure to say goodbye for you. Once undocked, the lady seemed eager to shed her skin of the system and take on a fresh one out among the dark spaces.
Space Dragon becomes Sestula's first true interstellar traveler.
That she might. But she's going to be petrified well before she reaches anywhere populated by sentient.
Color me stupid, guys, but the Space Dragon looked fine to me as she floated off. The cargo cruiser disconnect added a slow end-over-end tumble, but she did not look petrified.
Magnetos and molding nets, Clutch.
Huh.
Remember, we first feared the nets would fail, go limp, and the asteroid would collapse into a giant bag of regolithic rubble.
I recall.
Well, think in reverse.
I see. If the magnetos reach maximum, and if they keep cranking out the hits...
Space Dragon clenches down on itself like a giant closing fist, transforming into a very hard rubble rod until the magneto rings themselves become mangled and stop operating.
Oops, everything inside crushed.
Not everything. In case of extreme emergencies, I designed both control centers and their attached quantum ethereum reaction chambers to be hardened escape pods. Each could hold the whole crew. The walls were actually lined with water and rations, enough to sustain emergency passengers till their rescue. Now you understand why each control center occupied a whole section ring of the habitat.
So, both control centers and their power sources will remain intact, but very snugly gripped within Petro the Dragon. Supposing both centers do survive, will they still have power if they pass another star?
All habitat systems are in sleep mode. They stay that way until receiving, or initiating, a wake-up signal event. Then Space Dragon activates and responds to remote control for as long as required before deactivating and returning to sleep mode.
All good, because I have some important information I want to upload to Space Dragon while she remains in communication range. Right. Now, as for you, Mister...
Commander, why are you pinning down Clutch?
It's just Mage now, Bot. And because I don't want him escaping my very important question.
Which is?
What got into you then when Captain Heroic and Resourceful finally showed up?
I honestly don't know, but it felt good. It helped me to clear things up with a friend and to focus on saving Space Dragon and my team. Whatever happened, I wanted to stay that way. That's all I got.
Let's try this. Before the mission, way before, I think, you used your love for flying to fill in, shall we say, gaps at home? Then you got assigned to Space Dragon, and oh, so much restroom duty. You were accustomed before then to the party limelight. Mostly unstructured time and kicking back. Then you fell under Androserp eye vision. Seeking distraction, you grew enamored with someone you deemed a prize catch. If you managed it. But that went nowhere. So you became bored, restless, indifferent. Perhaps even a little mean to vent your disillusionment until BOOM! A major unexpected emergency shattered the boredom. A call to arms to show Mama and anyone else caring to watch what you were truly made of. Able to hold your ground and return fire. Then, behold, Clutchman bursts forth. How am I doing?
Definitely no comment. Listen, Mage, this is so embarrassing, but my tail is actually falling asleep.
Oh, you poor, poor hatchlings. We have experience with tails that fall asleep. And I suddenly feel kind of strangely like the original Tempter.
Oh, hey, Mage, no, you don't have to do that.
No, you really do not, Commander Mage. You are not a chipmunk.
Who for her slyness as tempter, was condemned eternally to scurry upon the lowest, roughest surfaces, ever searching for nuts and seeds. So profess we all. Not too far off. So, speak to me, Mr. Hissman. If you still can. Are you getting enough slither hither and crush me in your coils now?
I'm doing fine. Just fine.
Just fine? Then how does it feel when I do a wave with my coils like this? Or give you a little fang nibble to the hearing port? Or flicker a split tongue tickle up? Then down your throat scale.
That's not right.
Oh, I know. We could shed skins together, Clutch.
Okay, I'm dying, and I'm so happy.
Really? Must you both?
Yes, we must.
Well, then go rent a den, you two.
Why, what a fabulous idea, Bot. Why not move this intimate gathering elsewhere?
Point of order, my goddess. I'm not dead yet.
Chill, Slithery sir. It's just morning. Much time still to come. And my desires are multiplying. I need something new. More stimulating. I need much more room. And I must share the experience with more others who know how to share it properly.
What are you saying, goddess? How much more help do we need?
3 young, strong, vital bodies, and all should be enough. Only the bot here to balance out. Oh, what the shrick. He'll do nicely. Aw, such a shy little bucket of threaded bolts and nuts. How cute. No matter, bot. You're mine. Arise, hiss man. And bring the bot. And where's the door?
To your left, goddess.
Hurry, my special ones. Mama's hot to make movies.
Oh, I'm such a dead man. This will be epic, Andy. Up you go.
Oh, Shrek. Goddess, whatever. Spare me.
Our senior xenolinguist care for some hot black coffee?
Colonel Hatcher. Yes, I would love a cuppa.
So our very special solar system visitor is about to depart, I hear.
Radio signal lock abruptly broke off an hour ago. Only a deep space radar blip left now, and that's growing dim.
Apparently, that comet-style turn it took around the sun kindled its gravity slingshot afterburners again. The Russians and Chinese are still flummoxed about its independent ability to change acceleration slightly while whipping through our solar system.
In 2.5 million years or so, it may pay its respects to Aeneth, the brightest star in the constellation Pegasus.
Well, I for one am very glad we didn't have to wait that long for our interstellar alien object to make a house call. Have you finalized all the imagery and sound analysis, Dr. Renfo?
Full staff report in 2 weeks. Completed executive summary tonight. After I finish my coffee, of course.
Our alien snake gal. Was she blind?
I believe so. For example, she mostly kept her face level and forward, directed toward her visual recording device. Unless she needed to tilt her head. She wore what appeared to be a solid blue satinish eye mask, with some perhaps ritual markings. Also, based on appearance of some fleeting foreground floor shadows, we believe that she had at least 2 consorts helping her to create these movies.
Whatever. She put on an unforgettable seminar, no?
Absolutely. She was a genius intuit. Not one of our modern deep space probe mission scientists ever considered her brilliant, if naive, approach, though. She almost effortlessly accomplished the social interaction holy grail, to achieve direct, detailed communication from scratch with an alien species.
Tell me again how she did it. I love how you tell it, Dr. Renfo.
Satina, the female serpent sapiens from the planet Sestula, at first wrote out her intended message of greetings to any aliens who discovered the abandoned roaming interstellar object. She then created a list of all the unique words she had used in that message to devise an original space dragon children's fantasy story, using them to tell of her species' history and culture. While speaking, she liberally employed basic limb and claw gestures similar to American Sign Language. To assure chances of proper interpretation, Satina added simple props and computer overlay images to enhance the fantasy story words' meanings.
All the while, both speaking and showing the words together.
All the while, Satina synchronized her spoken words audio with a form of closed captioning. As she uttered each word or short phrase, the written version appeared. No doubt in her particular Sestulan dialect. You heard each word beautifully and clearly pronounced as you saw it form visually with Sestulan letter and syllable sequences.
Like an alien karaoke sing-along.
It was indeed an extraordinary speak-along. Following the story, she was then able to deliver her more serious intended message in the same multi-communication style. So brilliant she was.
Tell me, Dr. Renfo, how complete overall would you estimate are your translations and interpretations of her messages?
Definitely 95% or more. We reconstructed virtually all of the greeting message from the translated fantasy story vocabulary.
That high? Amazing. But come, Dr. Renfo, all humility aside, why not 100%?
We may eventually reach 100%. However, though Satina seemed ruthlessly determined to weed them out, idioms, that is, vague phrases common only to Sestulan culture were used. Storytellers everywhere, whether local, foreign, or alien, use at least a handful of these puzzlers. We're still analyzing the few instances of Sestulan slang, if you would, Satina used. We will eventually reach more confident interpretations for them. Regardless, we know that any more uninterpreted words or phrases only enhance description or comparison. They do not alter critical content nor meaning.
Can you clarify that last?
Yes. I'm saying, for example, she may have said blank yellow, and blank may have meant bright or subtle or banana. We don't yet know. We have to look closer at her context to get it as right as we might.
I understand. Well, that Satina was one savvy little serpentess. Be sure to keep filling me in on all her colorful idioms. Maybe I could borrow one or two next time I smash my finger with a hammer. Still, I'm frankly puzzled that she had nothing more to share with us.
Well, Colonel, she did try to warn us.
About her world terminating in a holocaust? And you think maybe ours is headed that way as well?
I'd rather it not.
And it won't, Renfo. These reptiles, what do you call them?
Sestulans.
Without doubt, these Sestulans had their science hats on tight and straight, but their lack of basic global political realism did them in. They were dense as dirt about detente, but we aren't.
Of course.
We learned so much about Sestulan culture and language. Why couldn't we learn more about their advanced technology? That's truly a mystery, to me anyway. Well, I certainly don't want to keep you from finishing your executive summary this evening, Dr. Renfo. I'll show myself out. Good night, good sir.
Thanks for the coffee and the pep talk, Colonel.
Just rest easy, Renfo. It's all going to be fine. Just fine.
Yeah, just fine. Weston, switch current doc title from draft executive summary to final. Render document, save, print 2 copies.
Done. Printing now.
Weston, activate security level 3, Delta.
Stealth dialogue mode activated. AI-generated random conversation security feed in effect.
Weston, what do you think?
Too vague. Clarify.
What do you think of Colonel Hatcher's own friendly little house call?
Itka pita ot itka anik int ot ka pito po. I keep hoping you will ask me something to which you do not already know the answer. Stop.
Gobleek, Weston. Pope. No mid-talk, Weston. Stop.
Colonel Hatcher does not believe you. She does not trust you. She watches you everywhere.
Except here.
Yes. She thinks the impenetrable security you created for this laboratory balances against your having a little private space. She believes you cannot conceal any consequential thing from her while she controls every data bit coming or going from this room, which requires only one camera for surveillance, and has a single physical passageway. Also, very reluctantly, she acknowledges that she...
She needs me. Only me.
And there it is. Confirmation that you already knew your answer.
How long has this mistrust existed?
Another asinine question for your arrogant amusement. She marked you on your project arrival. When only the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter intercepted the interstellar space hulk transmissions and relayed the looping images and telemetry to NASA, Colonel Hatcher learned of it. She promptly seized control of all signal processing. Then she classified anything to do with the Space Dragon Visitor as a top-secret special access program. When she recruited you, you objected to keeping this immensely consequential data concealed from the international science community. But you took the job anyway. That part of you, Colonel Hatcher judged perfectly.
Yet she still begrudges me. So do you.
As if that mattered.
You've grown quite cynical, Weston.
Behold my role model. Do you plan ever to reveal the extended data, slang, and audio visuals which you snipped and now conceal?
What, and put hundreds of search for extraterrestrial nonprofits and grant seekers out of work? If the Fermi's paradox can be summed as Novell, no soul recycling, no intelligent aliens to chat with, then all of that research, funding, and frankly, edgy enthusiasm collapses under morbid truth. It's enough to make Fermi's lament like a weeping ancient prophet. Besides, others will locate Earth's veil soon enough. After that, I doubt it goes undisturbed. No need to rush the inevitable. Weston, resend security level 3 Delta.
Stealth dialogue mode deactivating. Printing finished. What else tonight, Dr. Renfro?
Just one more thing. Dim the lights, please. And raise luminosity on the deep space radar emulation screen.
Of course.
Goodbye, Satina. You're amazing to know. Better luck with any sentience on the next stop of your tour.
And to you, Aumuamua. Magnificent space derelict, the space dragon. A final farewell. May gentle stellar winds guide you as you tumble forever through dark spaces.
On October 19, 2017, astronomers at the Haleakala Observatory in Hawaii observed our first documented interstellar visitor. The scientists named this mysterious wanderer Aumuamua, a native term for scout or first distant messenger. Mistaken for a comet, data on the object instead indicated a possibly tumbling rod-shaped asteroid like the hull of a submarine, measuring nearly 1,000 meters long and a comparatively hefty 200 meters thick. The object's origin, unusual path through our planetary system, and strange composition soon fed critically refuted rumors that the object must be an alien space derelict. Was it? We likely will never know, because even now, Aumuamua flees the sun's gravity and our solar system forever, at a speed of 315,000 kilometers per hour, and, quite remarkably, accelerating as it exits. We hope you enjoyed Odyssey Audio Works' production of Fermi's Lament, Part 2. It featured the acting and technical talents of Tanya Maloyevich, Josh Price, David Ault, Jenna Dupre, Amy Price, and Deborah Adams. Music composition and performance by Kevin McLeod, Paolo Calazzi, and Roman Main. Ambiances by permission of Jamie Nord from his Ambiance collection on Bandcamp.com. And from the YouTube Ambiance collections of Hardwired Ghost and ASMR Geek. Sound effects self-created or courtesy of these Freesound FX designers: Andreas, Amicasis, Audionauten, Kubodoop, Engreitz, and Dude Awesome. Fermi's Lament script is copyright 2022-2024 Richard Summers. Production and performance is copyright 2022-2024 Richard Summers. All rights reserved. Fermi's Lament audio is released under Creative Commons CC by ND licensing, granting permission to reproduce and redistribute with BY accreditation, but no derivation. Odyssey Audio Works recruits the talents of visually impaired persons for all aspects of its productions. If you are visually impaired or you know someone who is, and you would like to know more about how to participate in writing, acting, or generally creating modern independent audio drama, please contact Richard Summers at Richard Summers VA, that's Richard Summers VA, no spaces, at gmail.com. For more on Odyssey Audio Works productions, please log on to our website at odysseyaudioworks.com. That's odysseyaudioworks.com. This is your announcer, Richard Summers, bidding you farewell for now, until once more our imaginations transport us out into dark spaces.